بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أدع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. We have two important tools to invite people to Islam. One of them is reason. Our religion is not based on superstitions, neither myths, neither fictions, nor dreams. Our religion is based on facts, scientific facts. Every premise we introduce, we advocate, has a base here, deeply rooted in the Quran, especially the school of Ahlul Bayt, Shia Islam. Every premise within Shia Islam, you can find it here. You can trace its roots in this book. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. This is our motto. We have burhan, we have dalil, we have evidence. Evidence is not superstition. The evidence is not a fabricated hadith, which does not make sense. It's not hallucination. It's here in this book, in the Holy Quran, and the authentic sunnah tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we the Muslims, the followers of Islam, we should always encourage even our speakers and our scholars and our teachers to pursue the truth through facts, not fictions. Through facts, not fictions. So this is the first tool. We have to study. Why Jesus cannot be God? It's not because the Quran is telling me. It's not because the Quran, the brain is telling me Jesus cannot be God. One day I was asked by someone in the airplane to explain Islam to her. She said, "What is the main difference between Islam and Christianity?" I said to her, "The main difference is over the identity of Jesus. Otherwise, 99% of our, you know, tradition is common, it's the same." She said, "How is that? Why we differ over Jesus? Why you don't accept him as the Lord?" I said, "The problem, if I accept him as the Lord, then if Jesus is sitting here next to me, because he has a body, okay? You believe in incarnation, that Jesus has a physical body, physical structure. So if he sits here in this seat, he cannot be in that seat. And therefore the Lord, which is confined in one seat, and he cannot be elsewhere, he's not a good Lord. And if he's in this airplane, he cannot be in the next airplane. And if he's in North America, he cannot be in South America. So he cannot help me. Because we believe God is self-sufficient and omnipresent. God is everywhere. There is no place in this universe which you cannot find God. And he's self-sufficient. He doesn't need to have children. He doesn't need to have friends. He doesn't need to eat. He doesn't need to sleep. We are not self-sufficient. Jesus cannot be self-sufficient. Jesus had to eat. And after that, he had to go and use the bathroom. Jesus had to sleep and rest. Jesus needed a mother to take care of him. Yes, he didn't have a wife, but he had a mother. Jesus was in need, not free of needs. That is the evidence. Before I go to the Quran, I go to my brain. My reason tells me. So we have to equip ourselves with knowledge. This is number one. Beside knowledge, we need akhlaq. Some people, they have knowledge, but they have no manners. Especially scholars. Scholars, they become arrogant. Once they learn, learning and education is a disease. Not always a blessing. Sometimes it's a curse. If you don't have good foundations, good spirit, clean spirit, then it becomes a disease. And it will infect you with what? With arrogance. Once he studies 1 year or 2 years, he doesn't even return your salam. He doesn't greet you. He doesn't ask about you. You cannot even dare to ask him a question. He will shut you down. You cannot discuss anything with him. So it brings arrogance with it. Allah says, if you want to preach my word, you cannot be arrogant. You have to be humble. You need ilm, education, and akhlaq, manners. Ilm minus akhlaq, without akhlaq, is nothing, is zero, is a curse. The hadith says, al-ilmu huwa al-hijab al-akbar. Ilm and knowledge could be a partition separating you from God. Al-hijab al-akbar, the biggest hijab, the biggest veil that separates you from God. Because it brings with it arrogance and a pride. So with ilm, we need akhlaq. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was number one in his knowledge and number one in his manners and his akhlaq. The Prophet did not only invite people to Islam through knowledge. Sometimes and many times through his manners, through his humility, through working with people, through helping people. In Mecca, when he started his mission in Mecca, Quraysh turned against him, including some of his cousins, including his uncle, paternal uncle. They turned against him. For so many years, the population of Islam was only three individuals. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Lady Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the loyal wife of the Prophet. For so many years, only three. One day the Prophet saw a lady, an old woman in the market, carrying the shopping. It was too heavy for her. So he went to her to help her. She didn't recognize him. She didn't know that this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said to her, I will carry this with you to your home. Don't worry about it. So she was happy that a young man is carrying the shopping for her. She reached her house. The Prophet went and put the shopping inside the house. She said to him, my son, I have no money to reward you for what you did today. You really helped me. You are a noble man. You are a very kind man. I don't have money to give you, but I have one single advice to give you. Is that okay? The Prophet said, of course, it's okay. She said to him, I will warn you against a man who emerged in our community. He's a magician. He brainwashes the mind of the young generation. Be careful, don't go to him. The Prophet said to her, who's that man? She said, his name is Muhammad. Don't go to him, stay away. If you want to succeed in your life, because once you get close to him, he will brainwash you. You will join him immediately. So stay away from him. That is the only gift I can present to you. The Prophet turned to her. He said to her, mother, ummah, mother, see, mother, ummah, beautiful. Mother, do you know Muhammad if you see him? Do you recognize him? She said, no, I can't recognize him. I haven't seen him, but this is what I hear. This is the talk of the town. Everyone is saying this, that Muhammad is an evil man. We should stay away from him. The Prophet said to him, Mother, أنا محمد بن عبد الله. I am Muhammad. She said, are you serious? You are Muhammad? He said, yes. I am the only Muhammad in town. And I am the messenger of God. Immediately, imagine this old lady who was warning him. Immediately she said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. My friend, sometimes we cannot convince people through rationality and intellectuality, but we can convince them through our hearts, our good deeds, our honesty. When you are honest, I remember in Brussels, in Belgium, 3 years ago, I went to a mosque. The name of the mosque is Masjid al-Tawheed. And that mosque, 99% of the people, they converted to the school of Ahlul Bayt. So I asked the Imam is in his mid-70s. I said to him, Shaykhana, what did prompt you to accept the school of Ahlul Bayt? What was it? He said, the first encounter with the Shia Muslims, when I went to Najaf, and I was Sunni, but I went to visit the shrine of Imam Ali. Then I went to visit one of the maraja. The marja at that time was Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim. The old generation among you, they remember the name very well. He says, when I entered his room, very humble, simple house and room, when I looked at his face, full of piety, reverence, taqwa, asceticism, zuhd, haybah, solemnity, as if I saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these qualities, they reflect on his face, on his manners. I said, this man cannot be wrong. What I am seeing cannot be wrong. I am seeing the faith, the entire faith, represented in this man. So that was the first step. When I went back home, I started to study and research. And I found the truth. That was my first encounter. Sometimes we have to invite people through our manners. If you speak the truth, if you are honest, definitely you can influence people around you. We don't have to go into the street and shout, all people become Muslims, all people convert to Islam. We don't have to do so. But if we walk the walk and talk the talk, we can invite them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا. اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين. وعجل في فرج إمامنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.